Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show. Siren Media Group is a multimedia company.
They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of
hate. I think there's still a lot of hope for us to progress.
We are continuing last week's topic of the complex business, social, and political street mind of Tupac Shakur.
Being shot is either going to leave you with one of the two keys, either bitter or better.
Siren Media Radio, topic today is the family secret, incest and molestation.
It's devastating.
It's the job of the parents to protect the children.
So our topic today is, should college student athletes receive payments?
That person, the college, is making probably about $4 to $5 million a year off that person.
Siren Media Radio. So our topic today is, my baby is a gangster like me. Hereditary gang membership.
The recession is getting bad now for the whole world, but it's really been bad for poor people in America for a long time.
Because those of us who walk around free of incarceration have figured out a way to institutionalize ourselves.
At generations of poverty who didn't believe that they could rise above their class, their stature, their education level, tried to get in where they can fit in.
There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people.
What's good, people? Today is Thursday, May 14th, 2015. You're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show. I'm your host from Michigan, Dwight Rock Walker, General Manager of Siren Media Group. And joining me today is my panel. She's a social worker as well as a social and political pundit from Jersey City, New Jersey, Sean Defense, a.k.a. IQ. What's good, IQ?
Good evening, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
No doubt. And he's a writer, rapper, and counselor with Troubled Youth in Atlanta, Georgia, Sean Ennis, a.k.a. Wise. What's good, Wise?
Yo, I'm alive. Peace to the fam. Good to be here, and as always, long live the revolution.
No doubt. Our phone lines are open at 347-215-7095. Once again, that's 347-215-7095. Remember, our blogs are open, but you need to register with us on blogtalkradio.com/Siren Media Radio. And there's still our Facebook page at Siren Media Radio. That's one word, S-I-R-A Media Radio. Siren Media Group is a multimedia company with a focus on music production, film, videography, photography, graphic design, and entertainment. Our radio show focuses on all of these elements, including social and political awareness. Just as a reminder, the Siren Media Radio Show on this platform will be ending May 28th. That'll be our last show. We don't have another show next week, so we're skipping next week, and then we're going to the 28th. And once again, we are ending on this platform. But starting in September, you can catch us on the TuneIn Radio app, iTunes, and a few other places, which we'll announce on the 28th. Just type in Siren Media Radio, all one word, and you'll get our new radio station where we'll host multiple shows. Once again, our last show, May 28th, so make sure that you're there. And all of you people who listen in the archives, make sure that you're there live for that show as much as you can. I'm sure we'll have a lot of people who are guests and this and that during that time period. So our topic today is, what influences African Americans? You know, the reason why I thought about this topic, there's a lot of things that influence African Americans, just like there's influences for every race and every culture. But speaking about us specifically, I remember a couple of years ago, now you guys might remember this, there was a time in, let's say, in hip-hop where if you were back in the 80s and you listened to hip-hop back in the 80s, there was a certain music that was put out that kind of changed when 1989 came in. Where N.W.A. came in, all right? So in that decade, and mind you, I am talking about this, but there's positive and negative influences, and we're going to talk about all of that. But what ended up happening is when N.W.A. came out, and more importantly, when Dre came out, Snoop came out, and this and that, you kind of noticed that the lingo of people who were in the hood, especially in reference to women, kind of changed. Doesn't mean it wasn't always there. It just wasn't there as much on the East Coast because there was a big influence from the West Coast, music-wise, that kind of carried over into the East Coast. But you'll notice how everyday lingo between people, you know, talking about B's and H's and this and that, how that kind of changed once that music came out. Once again, it's not like it wasn't there before. It just wasn't as pertinent, and it wasn't above ground. Now, I'm just using that as an example of how some negative influences, what people would deem negative, kind of bounced over from somewhere else. Because we get influence from multiple things, whether it's music and media, film, parents, friends, teachers. There's role models, people who are in music and people who are, you know, just everyday, could be your uncle or your cousin or something like that. There's just multiple things that influence people in general, and that's what we're talking about today. So let's start off with parents. I heard someone say the other day that parents have a small amount of influence over their children. Like most of the people are influenced by the people around them, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think I necessarily agree with that, but I'm going to find out from the panel. So I'm going to start with you, IQ. What do you think about parents and their influence over their children?
I think parents have an overwhelming influence on children, be it on purpose or just by the children observing their day-to-day contact, their day-to-day, the way they handle things, their work ethic and things of that nature. I think our children literally mimic the things they see us say and the things that they see us do. And I also believe that children pick up a lot of our habits, you know, like our little quirks. It's a small thing, but we influence our children a great deal. The messages that we give them, the things that we embed in them in terms of their morals, their values, their respect for education and things of that nature, we impact them every single day, whether we realize it or not, and whether the children are willing to admit it or not. Their parents are a great influence on them.
Wise?
I have to agree with everything IQ said, and I think with the mother more so than the father, depends on the living circumstance, but usually the mother is the first and dominant influence on the child even before the child is born. The child is a sponge placed in an environment, and whether willingly or unwillingly, it soaks up everything. And that, in most situations, is very positive, and in some situations it's negative. But you're the dominant way that they view and see the world, because they're basically a prisoner because they can't do anything for themselves until a certain age. I think the greater question becomes, you know, what is the influence that you had upon your child from what they saw, what they gathered from you, if it was positive or negative, and then when there's another influence introduced to counter yours, then what happens?
You know, the interesting thing in thinking about the caller and when he is on another show, when he was talking about, you know, how parents don't really have a lot of influence, which I disagree, but I think that what he may have been looking at is as the child gets older. Because what I think happens is the greatest influence over your children is when they're very young. A lot of times during that period, they pick up a lot of stuff. Now, when they become teenagers, there's more influences, not just the parents. I still think the parent is a dominant influence there. But you have friends, which we'll get into next. You have different media outlets and all things that are coming in. This is why people, you know, talk about all the time, let the parent be the filter for the child. Well, the issue is the parent needs to be the filter for the child when they're younger and teach them about certain things so that when they get older, they can actually filter themselves. So that brings me to the friend section. All right, so basically, and I'll start with you, IQ, how much influence do you think that kids have around other kids, how much influence teenagers have over other teenagers, and as well as adults, you know, having friends that are around them that are a certain way?
I think we're all parents, and I think that what we notice is when our children begin to become social and learn how to socialize, I think that when they see other children's behaviors, they attempt to mimic them in our homes, or they bring it home and see they can get away with it in the house, you know, as small children, that's what they do. This is what I've observed. I've also observed it happen in grade school and things of that nature. Teenagers, I find, like to fit in or like to be liked, I guess you could say, you know, have a circle of friends, and what they can often do is do or say things just to fit in. Very rarely you'll see a teenager who is okay with being cast as the weirdo or as the loner or the outsider. Very rare you see that there's a child that's comfortable in that that stigma. But as adults, I think we tend to mimic the same behaviors that we do as teenagers sometimes. I think sometimes we dumb ourselves down to be involved or be surrounded by the fun folks, I think, at times. But I also feel like, you know, most of us can stand our own ground and be confident in who and what we are.
Wise, you know, a lot of people say that if you want to be successful, then your core friends should be successful as well, or you should at least build yourself around people who are trying to achieve. So wouldn't you say that that is influence as well? If you're around successful people, then more than likely you'll become successful.
I think I think it's true, and part of it I think is hypocrisy, because it's the same thing our parents teach us not to do at one age, then turn around and teach us to do at a certain age. And the truth of the matter is, the successful people that I know are the people who never fit in. The successful people that I'm in contact with, that I picked their brain, these were the outcasts, these were the nerds, these were the thugs, these were the people that no one wanted, these were the rejects. And because they didn't fit in anywhere else, they soon learned in life that their purpose was not to fit in, but put themselves in a position of leadership. So they kind of had to do it themselves once they realized their journey in life was. But there are a lot of things that we teach our children as young children not to do, but then we flip it over when it's a disadvantage for them that we believe, we tell them not to do it. And when they become older and more mature, we tell them to go reverse of what we told them, because now we think it's to their benefit.
So, I mean, would that be an age thing? Maybe when they're younger, they're teaching them not to go with the crowd, and then when they get older, you know, I would think that if it's a positive crowd, then it's all right to be with them. But you're talking about in terms of mimicking action?
Yes, they're mimicking action. And what I think, reason why I'm so many things as a teenager's point of view, and I have to always come from that when we talk about age of influence, because I counsel young teenagers, that what I'm seeing inside these teenagers and the groups that I'm having the conversations and just listening to them is that a lot of things that they were taught as children that were dominant influence, they're rebelling against in their teenage years, because now what was a no is a go, or what was a go is now a no, and they see hypocrisy in everything around them, and they're rebelling against it. And what I would like for us to do, or what I'm trying to do, is take the approach, instead of making the decision for them, is that as early as possible, sure, how to make the decision, how to solve the problem instead of solving it for them, so that they can make that decision themselves.
That's very interesting. As far as, let's move on to teachers. So, first of all, I guess you can have a teacher, if you're talking about whether it's a teacher in school or it could be a teacher at home, but if we're talking about specifically in the schools and things like that, how much influence IQ do you think that teachers have over students?
A ridiculous amount of influence, to the point where I don't think teachers understand just how profound of people they are in the lives of students. Teachers have the ability to either make the student desire to learn, or they have the ability to turn them off to the idea of learning. Teachers who are engaging often have successful students, and teachers who are there to get paid usually have students who don't have really good grades in their class. Teachers are wonderful influences when they love the craft, but on the opposite end of it, teachers really do our students a disservice when they're there just to get a paycheck. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. But is that overall, let's say, overall teachers? Like, I'm trying to think of how many teachers really influenced me. There was a few of them, but I can't say, oh, I can't say 90%, but I can say there was a few of them that did. So do you find that the amount of influence that, particularly in the urban environment, of teachers to the student is, as far as their education is concerned, 50%, 60%, just as a guess, how much it would be percentage-wise?
You asking me or wise?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was for IQ.
Okay.
In terms of percentage, I'm not sure of the percentage, but I can name a few teachers who have given me the initiative or taught me to want the initiative to want to learn more. But I could tell you about that one teacher whose weave I want to pull off her head even to this day because she didn't know what the heck she was doing. I could tell you about her, got my butt whipped behind her, and all she did was nothing. I could tell you about that. But at the end of the day, I'm a grown woman, and I can still recall how that woman came to school every day and got paid, but she didn't teach us anything, and we were always a problem in her class because we weren't learning anything. But I can also name about a good, I can name about a good 10 or 12, maybe 20 teachers whose classes I loved because they were engaging because they loved it, what they were doing.
Wise?
If I could piggyback off that, listen, there were teachers who told me that if I applied myself, I could be the best thing in the world, and I believe them. But there was this one dude, this is especially for young black men who grow up in urban areas who grow up at schools where it's predominantly white women or white males. I was told that in high school, I was told by a teacher that it's okay, you'll never live to be 18.
Wow.
And when I turned 18 in school, she literally told me, she said, well, sorry, most of you don't make it past 21. I had another teacher, and that influenced me greatly. Like, I couldn't even explain to you, even to today, that I cried when I turned 18 and 21 because I didn't know what to do because this person who I thought was the truth told me I was going to be dead. And there were other people who told me, like my science teacher, who just taught me how to think analytically, and I took that, and it became a part of my core being. So when I take that now, what if the school system that I grew up in doesn't exist anymore? What is their influence? And are these still things going on positively and negatively? And IQ is absolutely right. Because of the way the home structure is now, school is probably the most consistent thing in maybe 50 to 40% of the children's lives that are going to school. At least that person's there every day. That's a big influence.
You know, I had one teacher trip me coming up the steps, told me to get out the effing way. And this
what?
Is a teacher on, yes. This is a teacher in a school, and I'm in Lincoln. I had another teacher who was a great teacher, Mr. Hunter. I think he eventually went to Snyder, but he was at Lincoln initially. Great teacher. Taught me about African history. I mean, he taught health, but in between health, he would teach you about African history and all this other stuff. Linked me up with this place up in Harlem that, taught, it was Malcolm X's organization, the AAU, which is still there, I believe. They still have their meetings and stuff on Saturdays, of which my future wife lived right down the block from there. So linked me up with them and had a profound influence on my view of African history. You know, I can name other teachers who did things from, you know, very from when I was very young. So just thinking in terms of all the different things, all the different teachers that were in my life, some of them I could say yes, you know, were a great influence, greatly influenced my life. I wouldn't say the majority of them did, but a lot of them did. And there were some, in terms of what you're saying, IQ, who were very influential as far as teaching. The way that they taught, they made you want to learn, you know, or they made it bearable. That's what I'll say sometimes. You know, so in those terms, you know, I could definitely say that they are, you know, big-time influences. All right, so let's move on to role models. Now, role models, you got positive and negative. All right, you have some people who are role models, and they may not want to be a role model, you know. The one question I want to have, and this is for both of you, if someone is in the limelight, should they be regarded, just because they're in the limelight, as a role model, and should they actually do certain things that are positive rather than negative because other people or certain children or whatever are watching? And I'll start with you, IQ.
That's a double-edged sword. On one hand, I feel like if you have celebrity status, then you should have some accountability in the decisions that you are making, especially when you know that you have a great influence on young people, or if you have an influence on the decisions that people make based upon, you know, what you hear in terms of social media and things of that nature. But on the other hand, you know, we have to respect the fact that they're human, and human beings make mistakes all the time. Now, you have those who run the gambit and really go to the left and do things that's really ridiculous, but it's a kind of double-edged sword. I'm not sure where I stand on that one. On one hand, I want them to be human and be able to make mistakes, but on the other hand, I really think that they should have some type of responsibility with their celebrity status.
Wise?
I don't think your celebrity automatically makes you a role model. I'm sorry. I don't think just because you're successful and you have money or popularity that makes you a role model, because I can name a whole bunch of people who are popular for being porn stars, and children know their name. If you're going to be a celebrity, be a celebrity. Now, if you're going to be a role model, I think that's something that's just inside you that, you know, is going to come through regardless. And I think we need to examine what we're going to consider role models and who we want our children to be exposed to and who we want them to follow. A role model should have integrity. A role model should have ethics. And a role model should have morals. You ain't got to be perfect at none of that, but I should see that in your actions, not because you're on TV singing, rapping, dancing, playing the piano, tennis, football, or whatever. What are you doing off the court? That's what makes you a role model. What you do on the court is what makes you a celebrity.
But based on that, we got to talk about then how the media plays people up, especially for, let's say, politicians and stuff, all right? There's been times where you've had people who have held office. They could have been, you know, womanizers. They could have been, you know, people who fought all the time. I mean, that's how it was back in the day. Yet they were great leaders when they got into office. So, but nowadays, to get into office, you got to have this record that's almost basically squeaky clean in the eyes of the public. If not, they will dog you out. So, it's almost like what IQ was saying, that double-edged sword, where on one hand you got to be this positive person or whatever, but on the other hand you're a human being. So whose work is it to actually change, or if we can change, society's perception of what a role model is versus, like you're saying, Wise, what a role model is versus a person who's just famous, you know? Should there be something done in the media to change that? And all of these have influences to African-Americans. So whose job is that to change it? Is it the parent? Is it the person making that decision themselves? I mean, who should be changing that?
I read somewhere once that service is the rent you pay for the life you live on earth. I think it's everyone's part.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem that we're looking for a solution when we need to realize we are the solution. There's so many problems that we can't even fathom. Hey, I can be a role model because, you know, I used to be on drugs and I'm not anymore. And I might be around some people who still smoke. Let me get around them and don't get high. Just say hi to them and show them some love. Not get to the point where I'm tempted, but just to the point where I recognize them and I say, hi, I still see you. Or you go on to work every day. Or you just doing little certain things. But all you have to do is show up. Be there when someone else needs you. Stop being so goddamn stupid. Get off this lame crab bag stuff that black people are doing to each other. Hey, your partner might need a ride to the grocery store. You know your ass going. Do it. Take them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Become a role model. Hey, you got a kid. You know this woman's stressed out. She don't know what to do with her kid. Invite her kid over for a play day. School her some game. Give her some of the old toys that your old child used to have that they don't play with no more. That's how you become a role model. You don't need a fucking $1 million to do it. You just got to give a shit.
Okay, all right, let's move on to our last one. We briefly talked about it earlier. Media, news, music, film,
different
things that influence. Right, so how much, and I'll start with you, IQ, how much influence do all of these things have on African Americans?
This is my personal opinion, but I feel like subliminally the media has allowed us to have no responsibility with our actions. And let me explain what I say by that. We see so much in terms of negativity, be it violence, be it the way we communicate with one another, be it the, you know, not having any integrity in relationships. We see so much via the media, be it social media or whether it's the news, that some things tend to look like it's okay to do it, even though we know it's wrong. And I think that the media understands that fully and takes advantage of it. But I also feel like as individuals and as people, we need to be mindful when we see our people, our cohorts, our friends, our family, whatever the case may be, doing stuff that we know damn well they ain't got no business. We need to take them to the side and pull them up a little bit. You know damn well you ain't had no business doing that. Now, what you doing? You know that ain't right. I think the media has a great influence.
Right, and I think that we accept certain things. And it started with our parents' generation. Not all of them, but it kind of started with it, where there were certain things that were done, certain music in the home when you got little kids, kinds of stuff, right, that we play and we do that we used to listen to. I remember when I was a kid, I used to listen, certain types of music. And then as I got older, I listened to more raw music. Now, that doesn't say that I turned out bad, but I know a lot of other people who did. I used to watch certain films. I didn't turn out bad, but there's other people who did. So usually it starts with the parents. So, Wise, do you agree with that? That it's the influence? Because people tell you all the time, you should be the parent over your children, what they listen to. But is that unrealistic?
No, it's not unrealistic. But the thing about it is that I want to touch on the topic. You said that, like, in the 80s it started coming and the message being put out like this. No, the message was always there. It's just that it took another vehicle when we became slaves to our television and that it was mass-fed to us, and this is what we want. But, to quote Malcolm X, I'm going to ask you a question through these television meetings. Where'd you learn to hate yourself? Who showed you had big lips? Who told you was ugly? Who taught you your daddy was a criminal? Where'd you really first see drugs at being used? Where'd you first see your people being called all types of crazy stuff and looked at they were less than you? Who taught you how to hate yourself? This is the same message that the media is portraying now, except that you could hate yourself now, but as long as you got some damn money, you good. It's still the same self-hate message or the hatred of message that's being fed to us that we're buying into. What I'm saying is that those who had a counter influence with equal bounds or exceeded the negativity that they got, like you, Rock, me, IQ, we were able to sift out, and we had our trouble, but we rised above because we had counter influences. My problem with, I don't even have a problem with the media calling us everything that they say we believe. But when there's no one home, when they're calling you, I hate you, and you're a nigga on TV, and you ain't got nobody to tell you home, I love you. The influence of the television is just they made that much greater, only unequal to God in this world's problem and times.
And Wise, you got the last word. Thank you for joining us tonight on Cyber Media Radio. You can hit us up on Facebook at Cyber Media Radio. That's SIRA Media Radio. On Twitter at Cyber Media Group. For questions or comments, you can email us at smr@cybermedia.com. From Sean Defense, Sean Ennis, and myself, Dwight Walker, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Well, actually, it'll be Thursday, May 28th, because we're not going to be around next Thursday. So May 28th at 6:30 p.m., our last show, so just keep that in mind. God willing, remember Psalms 37:24.